The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Mark, band, thank you guys so very much. As always, you guys sing awesome. Love it. Well, it's great to see you, church family, this morning. As Pastor Neil shared a little while ago, Pastor Michael and his beloved bride, Mary, their two boys, Michael Jr. and Christopher, and their grandson, Colton, were in Phoenix yesterday, where Pastor Michael was at Grand Canyon University. You might have seen it on Facebook already. But he was a candidate. He and four others were enshrined into Grand Canyon's University Hall of Fame. And for Pastor Michael, it was in the School of Theology. And so it was a great accomplishment. He was very thrilled, and if you know Pastor Michael, he's very humble with things like this, but if you want to send him a word of encouragement on Facebook or something like that, since Mary announced it, I figured we can announce it as well, all right? So grateful for Michael and what he's done, and us as the body of Christ is our leader here at Shadow Hills, but then on the many boards that he's a part of as well, he has just rose in the leadership capacity and has always shed forth God's light and his love to those around him, and so we're very grateful to have him as our pastor. I have the privilege to be able to share with you today. You know, we have been in this book of Joshua for the last couple of weeks. And just to kind of recap for a few moments, we know that Moses has died. We know that the mantle has been passed to Joshua, and he has inherited this rebellious nation, I would say, that often got the best of him. We know that there were wars to be fought. We know that cities are to be rebuilt. We know that people are to be governed. And we know, particularly at this point, that they have just come off a major victory in the Battle of Jericho, where the walls have fallen. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Joshua chapter 6. We're going to be camping out between chapter 6 and chapter 7 today. And so, but I want you to imagine, as you're sitting here this morning, I want you to imagine that you are in the Israeli camp. Okay, you're celebrating with the people as well. The walls have fallen, but you realize the walls haven't fallen by atomic bomb. The walls haven't fallen by a mighty battering ram or military strategy. These are wandering people. They've been wandering for quite some time. They really did not have any military ingenuity upon them at all. But the walls had fallen simply and plainly by the amazing plan of God. And so the city that no one could defeat had fallen, and again, they are gathering for this time of celebration. The 12 tribes are together. They're all in the encampment together, and it's falling upon nighttime before they are about to go into another battle, and that is the Battle of Ai. And so in the tent, one of the Israelis is starting to wrestle. He's starting to just kind of toss. He's starting to turn a little bit. He's kind of struggling with some thoughts that he's thinking about. And he's thinking about that city of Jericho. He's thinking about the marketplace. He's thinking about the spoils and all the goods that have been left behind. Okay? And he's reminded, though, of Scripture in Joshua chapter 6, 18 and 19, where Scripture says, But keep away from devoted things so that they will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble upon it. All the silver and all the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. So basically, Achan is at this point where he kind of sees an opportunity before him. He sees the tent that he's in, and he sees that it's in shambles, and he's kind of looking at his dirty clothes, and he's looking at the shoes that maybe have holes in them. And so he kind of gets this thought in his head, and he says, well, maybe I can go grab some of those spoils. And so everyone is asleep. He's probably one of the only ones that's up. And he opens up his tent. There's silence. And so what does he do? The moonlight's shining, so he walks out of the encampment. He walks out of the encampment. He starts walking towards the rubble of that city of Jericho. He climbs over the walls and kind of climbs back into the city, and he goes into the marketplace. And that moonlight is shining, and he gleans his eye on something that's shiny on the ground. And what do? When we see something shiny on the ground, we pick it up, don't we? So he goes and he picks it up, and it's this big wedge of gold that Scripture tells us. More gold than he would ever have or need throughout his lifetime. So he picks it up and he grabs it. continues to go on, and he sees a satchel on the ground. Picks that satchel up, shakes it a little bit, and there are shekels of silver in there. He's elated. The moon's still shining. He sees a bright, shiny, beautiful piece of material. He sees that on the ground. He picks it up. It seems like it's like a robe for someone with royalty. And so he grabs that as well. And scripture says, he said, I've never owned anything but a camel skin coat. So he takes that. But then after that, he kind of gets to the point where he goes back to the encampment, gets back in his tent, kind of closes that tent up. And what does he do? He digs a hole in the ground. He digs a hole in the ground as quickly as he can. He puts the silver down there. He puts the gold down there because God had said to keep away from the spoils of the city, that you are not to take anything for yourself. He buries everything and hides it. So Israel that next day goes out into that battle for that city of Ai. And we know that the people of Israel are defeated. When you think about your walk with God, God so wants his people to be victorious. God wanted the people of Israel at this point to be victorious, but now Israel is met with this defeat. The mighty people of God who had struck terror into the hearts of the citizens of Jericho have become the laughingstock of Canaan because this smallest city in the land has defeated them. The Israeli people ended up running down that ravine like scared little girls as the army of Ai and the citizens of Ai came after them. So you say, well, what's the problem? The problem goes back to that text I talked about in chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, where scripture said, you are not to take any of these things, every vessel of bronze, gold, silver, iron. They are to go into the Lord's treasury. You know, one man sinned. One man came to the point where he sinned, but that whole nation suffered. And there's a principle about the law of God, and that is that no man sins in isolation. What kind of sin was it, you ask? We know that he went and he took, but it was something that was done in secret. It was something that was done in secret when nobody else was watching. Sin that can be done while walking uprightly and claiming to live for God, while representing yourself as a good citizen and as a good Christian. It's sin that nobody else sees. But it is sin that will bring defeat in the life of a believer in the body of Christ. And this is the problem of secret sin in point one. And I want you to notice three things that secret sin does as we uncover this problem. The problem with secret sin is that it brings defeat in your life. God's people are not to be defeated. I shared a few moments ago, God wants each one of us to be victorious in our walk with him. You know, we began this series, Joshua, a study of problems, promise, and courage. We began this series, this journey into freedom, in Joshua chapter 1, in those first 9 verses, what did God tell Joshua? He said, I want you to be strong and courageous. He comes again, he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Third time. But I love the verse where it says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. May you meditate on it day and night, being careful to do everything that is written in it. For then you will be prosperous and successful. That is what God wants for us. He wants to prosper each and every one of you. He wants to grow each and every one of you. But here in this story, there's a man that brought sin, and sin itself has brought defeat. Achan took that which was devoted to the glory of God. He took it for himself. He desired things for himself. Thought nobody will know. He would bury the sin, but yet the Bible says in the book of Numbers that the sin that we cover, God uncovers. That's in Numbers 32, verse 23. Secret sin will always bring defeat. It'll bring defeat in your life. It will bring defeat in your family. It will bring defeat in your marriage, I should say. It'll bring defeat in your business contracts. It'll bring defeat in your character and bring defeat in your integrity. Secret sin brought defeat to the entire army of Israel because one man took that which belonged to God. And I want to tell you something this morning. And I hope it's not a news flash for any of us. But your life does not belong to you. The moment that you ask Jesus Christ into your heart to be Lord of your life, you relinquish control. That miracle took place where the Holy Spirit came to indwell inside of you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, Scripture says, "Do you not know that your body is a holy temple and that the Holy Spirit is within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God with your body." We are not our own. You were bought with a price. Your body belongs to God. Your time belongs to God. Your talents belong to God. Your tithe belongs to God. What you offer to God belongs to Him, and He sees that as something that is so holy. We can come to church on Sunday mornings, maybe a Saturday night. You can sit in the pew. We can look holy. We can look righteous. We can have a smile on our faces. Never commit a sin that people see on the outside, but on the inside, in secret, we have. But our God sees it. And you may say, "Well, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't gamble, I hang around with the right people." But it's times like this where we need to take an internal check. Take a look into our own hearts and say, "God, is there some secret sin that I haven't dealt with?" Maybe deep down you're bitter with your family, or you're bitter with some friends, co-workers. Maybe you're jealous of some of your family, your friends, or co-workers. Maybe you're disrespectful to your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents or your co-workers. Maybe you're one that's yelling at people or cutting you off on the road. Maybe you're short-tempered. Maybe you're shortchanging your company. I mean, that list can go on and on and on. You can represent yourself as being holy and righteous, but if in your heart you are not taking that which belongs to God and you're diverting His plan for your life and not adhering to the principles that He has for your life, then you are not living the intended life and the abundant life that He wants for you to be victorious. The problem with secret sin not only brings defeat, but it also hinders our prayers and deceives us as the body of Christ. Now, Joshua is at a point where he can't figure out what has happened. He is so stunned by this defeat. In chapter 7, verse 6, in keeping with ancient rites of mourning, the leader and the elders, they tear their clothes. They throw dust on their heads and dust on their shoulders. He is laying prostrate on the ground, the Ark of the Covenant before him, and he's praying and crying out to God. And we say, "Oh, they're praying now." Exactly. Joshua thought, and the people thought, that this battle would be easy. They were still celebrating the victory of Jericho. Achan's sin was dangerous. But I don't think we take time to really look at the sin of Joshua as well and not going to the Lord in prayer. That is also dangerous. They didn't pray before they went out into battle. Scripture doesn't tell us that they did. They didn't pray as God commanded. They weren't pondering on the word of God. Remember that verse I shared earlier? "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth." You know, they weren't being careful to do everything that was written in it to be prosperous and successful and to be in prayer before the Lord. They were taking glory for their victory when the victory belonged to God Himself. They had committed secret sin just as Achan had committed secret sin. Yet Achan stole, all right? But yet Joshua didn't seek the Lord for battle. So now Joshua and the elders are in this state of prayer, and you've never seen such humility. All these guys on the floor praying. And Joshua's perplexity was verbalized as he came to the point where he asked our Lord some very pertinent questions. In chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, he says, "Oh God, what's wrong? Why did you bring us out of Egypt to destroy us now?" And I will say to us today that secret sin will always bring about blaming of God or blaming other people. Joshua said, "God, we're not victorious. What's wrong? What will you do to protect your reputation? God, it's your fault. You're not hearing our prayers." The truth is, secret sin hinders prayers. The Lord's reply to Joshua was a pretty brisk reply. In verse 10 of chapter 7, he says, "Get up. Get up. Why have you fallen on your face?" God explained the cause for defeat and the need for Joshua to take action and gave him some very explicit instructions. The cause of the disaster, the cause of the defeat was not God. It was Israel. It was the people. Prayer is no substitute for obedience. We get in trouble in our walks with God. We experience defeat. Life may crash around us. And we begin to pray ourselves and cry out to God and say, "God, what's wrong?" And what does God tell us? He's trying to tell us, get up. He's trying to tell each one of us, get up. Stand up. The only prayer I want to hear is a prayer of confession. Prayer of contrition. You ask, what does it mean to be contrite? To be contrite means to be in a state of feeling remorseful and feeling sorry for the things we've done. You see, secret sin, again, will always bring about a lack of answered prayer. It'll hinder your prayers. In the Psalms, remember the prayer of David? David was quoted. He said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me." Iniquity is defined as immoral or grossly unfair behavior. Your secret sin will hinder your prayer life. You'll wonder why there's no anointing in your life. You'll wonder why there's no power in your life, why there's no souls being saved, why God's not blessing you with having spiritual conversations, why God's not answering your prayer, why you're feeling like your life is so dry and barren and you don't feel like there's the presence of the Lord. You'll blame God, blame Pastor Michael, blame some of the other pastors on our staff, blame each other as the body of Christ. But we don't like to take the blame ourselves, do we? God says, get up. Israel has sinned. We, as the body of Christ, have sinned. And he's telling each one of us to get up and to get right with him. Not only will he bring defeat in your life and hinder your prayers, but secret sin will also hurt the people that you love the most. Now, they may not necessarily know the sins that you've committed. You may be able to hide it from your coworkers. You may be able to hide it from your husband or your wife or your parents. And that list can go on as well. Your boss, your fellow church members. They may never know how cold your heart really is, how little love that you have for the lost, how little you care, how little you pray. They may never know how alone you feel, how lost you feel, how hurt you feel, how little you give to God. They may never know your secret addictions or perversions. You see, Achan covered his sin. He went into the tent, buried it all, put that blanket up so no one could see in. And Scripture says, "He that covers a sin shall not prosper, but whoever confesses his sin and forsakes his sin will have mercy with the Lord. Amen? So we see the problem of secret sin through defeat, hindered prayer, and being deceived, and then hurting others you love. So you have that problem of secret sin, but then you also have that progress of secret sin. I want you to look at chapter 7, verse 19. Scripture says, "Then Joshua said to Achan, 'My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him. And tell me now what you've done. Do not hide it from me.' And Achan comes to the point where he answers Joshua. He says, 'Truly I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and I took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth beside my tent, inside my tent, with the silver underneath.'" And so what did Joshua do? Joshua sent his men to that tent to see if he was telling the truth. They found all the spoils that he had hidden. And I look at this verse, and it gives us four steps to disaster. What did he say in there? He said, "I saw, I desired, I took, and I hid." I saw, I desired, I took, and I hid. You know, we come to the point where we first see. I love in the book of Job, Job says, "I made a covenant with my eyes." And you may say, "Well, Damien, all you need to do is drive down the street. You see a billboard here that's not righteous. You see something on a cab that's not righteous. You look at your computer, you see something that's not righteous. Your phone, an app, social media. There are so many things that pull our attention in different directions. You can look to the left and you can look to the right and see things everywhere. Pastor Michael always says, you cannot keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep a bird from making a nest in your hair, right? You can take the first look, but it's the second look, and it's the third look, and it's the fourth look that'll pull us into deception. If you look long enough, what tends to happen? You're going to move on to desire. In secret sin, temptation will get the best of you. Temptation will start to entice you and feed that desire. And so you'll press forth, knowing what the consequences are going to be. And so that desire grows, and you start to covet in your heart until you finally justify and rationalize a way to get that what it is that you want. So we see, we desire, and then we come to that point where we take. We reach out and take things, whether it's your life, whether it's your time, your talents, your body, another idea that you stole from someone and presented it to the board, maybe an item that God says, "No, now's not the time to buy it, but you buy it anyway." Maybe it's your tithe. All things that belong to God, and what do? We use those things for ourselves. We see, we desire, we take, and then we hide. You'll try to hide it by trying to live an outward religious life so nobody will know what's going on deep down inside your heart, and that is the progress of sin. So not only do you have the problem, but you have the progress of secret sin, but then you have the punishment of secret sin. Now, Achan's punishment was harsh. In chapter 7, verse 25, Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord shall trouble you this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones until this day. And that is why they have called it the Valley of Achor ever since. Just imagine this man. Just imagine his family. At first they are stoned, heads cracked on the ground like an egg, by friends, by countrymen who were living alongside him. Achan, his family, he brought judgment on himself, he brought judgment on his family, and he brought judgment upon the entire nation. And I think our God gives such a graphic lesson. And we read about that in Romans where it says that the wages of sin is death. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. We cannot hide our sin from God. God said in Numbers, be sure your sin will find you out. Again, Numbers 32, verse 23. One day that which is secret in your life will be made known to God. In Matthew, Jesus was talking and he said, every idle word men shall give an account in the day of judgment. And I want you to think for a second. I want you to go back to that original first scene when I was talking about Achan sneaking off into the night, being guided by the moonlight, when he was taking the things that were devoted to God, meant for the treasury. Imagine he gets back to his tent. He had just buried the stuff. Imagine conviction started to well up and build up within his heart. Imagine him coming to the point of digging those things up and going to Joshua and saying, Joshua, I did a terrible thing. Joshua, I've brought ill repute on my country, on my family. I've done exactly what God commanded me not to do. I've dishonored him. Joshua, will you forgive me? You think God would forgive me? Now, obviously, we know that Achan didn't do that, because we know what happened to Achan. But the Bible has such a strong principle that says what we uncover, God will cover. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We want the power of God in our lives. Do you want the power of God in your life? One person? Do you want the power of God in your life? Amen. Okay, amen, thank you. I think we all want the power of God in our life. I hope you do. But we need to come to the point where there is a daily confession of our sins, a daily clearing and cleansing of our sin, a daily consciousness about sin. And we must treat sin as sin would treat us. We must bring sin before God. And what we do, our God is so loving and our God is so gracious to offer forgiveness through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. So I ask you today, do you need to uncover any sin so that God can cover it? Have you taken that which belongs to God and used it for yourself? Can you identify with Achan? Can you identify with Joshua? Do you need to ask forgiveness and say, God, I've not been wholly devoted to you. I've not been wholly devoted to your will. I've not been wholly devoted to the power of the Holy Spirit that can be prevalent in my life because I haven't been wholly devoted to studying your word so I can discern that Holy Spirit moving in my life. I'm not honoring you with my life. I've gone to church, I've been good outwardly, but inwardly there are some things that are wrong. You don't have to tell anybody what it is, but you need to tell God what it is. He already knows. The longer it takes for you to uncover it and allow God to cover it, the longer that each one of us, each one of you, will have defeat in your life. Is there that sin of not giving him your life, not surrendering your body, not giving of your talents, not giving of your abilities, not rising up to your full potential? Only you can answer that. And so today you have a choice. You have a choice. You can either continue with secret sin and live a defeated life, or you can uncover that sin, seeking true repentance with the Father today, receiving his forgiveness, and allowing yourself to walk victoriously. And that's your choice. Stand with me, let's pray. With all eyes closed, and heads bowed, I want to ask you this early afternoon, is there sin in the camp today? How does this passage apply to you personally? How does this passage apply to us as the body of Christ, the people that we call Shadow Hills? My challenge for each one of us today is to repent, to let go. Uncover your sin so that you can move from defeat to victory in your life. Heavenly Father, God, I pray for each heart that is represented here today. Father God, I pray, Lord, that for my brothers and sisters, that you would make them fresh and new with the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, in your word, you say that you are near to those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So God, have your will, and please have your way in the lives of your people. Give them energy and strength to come to you in confession, to seek repentance. Father, for those who are doing well, I ask that you would give them eyes to see others around them today, eyes to be a light to help and encourage and change another story for someone to move from defeat to victory. Search our hearts, God, and if there's anything that's hindering our walk with you, please bring it to our attention. In the quietness of these moments and in these pews, I ask that you would simply have your way with the hearts of your people. And all God's people said, amen.
This has been a production of Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.